Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, January 28th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad to have you with me. Also with me, audio troubleshooter extraordinaire and longtime podcaster, Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Well, it's just because my audio hijack wasn't working right, so I had to have you on. No, I'm kidding.
I know. Yeah, it's a good thing. We had all the right people in all the right places today.
Yes. Happy coincidence. Andrew, I'd like to start with you on an article that you put up yesterday, I think it was yesterday, about file management.
Yeah, so I think I first created this back in 2018, but this one was just, I made it into two articles, but this one, I rewrote it, tweaked it with what I had learned since then, and now it's just one easy article to read.
Okay, and what are you telling us about file management? Like, I don't want to give away the ending, but...
Yeah, so there's basically two parts to the system I created. File names, because those are easy to search for, and a folder structure with what I call primary categories. Now, if you want, you could just use the standard folder structure where you're just organizing by file type, because that's the standard in any operating system. You know, there's a documents folder, a pictures folder, etc. The categories for the folders that I chose are based on lifestyle, just because I think that would maybe make it a bit more universal and general to people, that anyone can just pick this up and run with it. But I consider having a structured file name is more important, just because, like I said, you download a file and then you rewrite the file name in a way that makes sense to you. Put in words in there that you'll remember later, and then you can put it in whatever folder you want. So what I came up with was I put certain things in brackets. Those are the categories, just to make it easier to visually parse when I'm looking through them. So in my system, the primary category goes first, and then the secondary category, and then the qualifiers. And those qualifiers are words, like I said, that would just help you remember them later.
Okay. And like, that's probably the tip I give lots of people when they, if I get asked about how to sort things or how to label things or how to name things, is always, if you went looking for that file, what would you type in order to get it to come up? And that's usually like my rule of thumb. Dave, you manage files all over the place. I would really like to get your take on this.
Yeah, no, you're right. This falls into the category that I like to call learning how to live with yourself. And your description of it, Kelly, is perfect. What would I type if I were looking for this later? And part of that for me, you know, when I started with computers, search was terrible. Let's assume there was no search, right? And that's really where hierarchical folders made a huge difference, right? In everywhere. You know, we used to file our email in folders, like separate. I had a separate folder for each person. I had over 1,000 email folders at one point, and they were all, you know, subfolders of one. No, it was the only way I could find what I needed to find, because there was, like, search was not what it is today. And that was a function of CPUs and disk speed and RAM, you know, just capabilities of the hardware.
Even when there was search, it was only by a file name. And even then, if you were fuzzy at all, or you were looking for something in the middle or the end of the file name, you couldn't do it. It was only if you knew how the file started, how the name of the file started, then you could search across file names. And that was the best you could do at that point.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I mean, I've abandoned that. Certainly with my email, I have one archive folder, and that's way better, because there's better ways to search for email, like by who sent it and, you know, when it was received and those sorts of things. But with my files, I still do kind of follow Andrew's, you know, folder-based system. I find it's, even though I can just search and find things now, and often do. So the name of the file is still important, so that it's not only what I think I would search for, but when I see it in a list, it means something to me. Like, oh, right, that's that thing that I saved at that other time. But I do save things in folders. I really don't use tags. And it was interesting. I was looking at your article, Andrew, it hit me. I was like, oh man, these, you know, primary category, secondary category, like, wouldn't it make more sense to use tags for that? And I say that as someone that does not use tags on his files. So it might make more sense, but still, like, there's something to be said for organizing data and files, especially in a way where when I go to look, you know, if I want to look for all the things related to my, you know, let's say our corporate taxes from 2017, right? And I know that, you know, we have whatever, four different business entities, and I assemble all this stuff for our accountant once a year. Well, I mean, more than once a year, but certainly for taxes, it's like once a year, here we go. And, you know, but things come in throughout the year that it's like, oh, I want to make sure I include that, or I talk about that with Bob when the time comes, et cetera. You know, I throw that all into a, you know, 2017 taxes folder, or throughout last year, 2019 taxes. And at the end of this month, I'll do even more of that and then package it all up and send it to them. And so, yes, I could tag those things, but it makes a lot more sense. Why have a tag that's going to live forever and always be in my list for taxes 2019, when in fact I could just put it in a folder, and then it's there, A, for, you know, the active project, and B, for the historical data. If I ever need to look something up, I know exactly where it is. I don't have to search for it. So yeah, I'm very much a folders person. I don't go crazy with it like I used to. I don't make subfolders of subfolders of subfolders. I mean, sometimes I will. I might have a taxes folder and then a, you know, 2019 taxes or something like that. But within that, I don't necessarily make different folders for each of the four businesses. Although at times it might make sense to do that, and then I would. But it, by and large, I don't. I guess what I'm saying is I don't spend a lot of time up front setting up the structure. I just sort of let it happen on the fly. But I've been doing it long enough that I know how I think. And if I just let myself think my normal way, then it all is fine. And when I go look for it later, it all makes sense. You know what I mean?
I do.
Learning how to live with myself. I know a lot of people that will set up, you know, spend a lot of time setting up a folder structure in advance. I do not subscribe to that. I am an efficiency maniac. And so, like, the whole GTD thing for to-dos is sort of that, right? Where you're spending a lot of time on the infrastructure of your to-do management as opposed to just, like, actually getting things done. So I like to just get things done. So I try to keep it as simple as possible. So my infrastructure time is not something I get bogged down with. So
yeah, I have, like,
management of my management, if you will.
Exactly. And I don't like to spend a lot of time on the admin sort of piece of it, either the infrastructure like you're talking about. So I will usually, like, I have, like, vague sort of parameters. Like, if I have more than X number of files that are for a thing, then I make a folder for it. You know, things like that. And I use, I have a lot of stuff that ends up being date based. Like, I need to know all of the things that happened on January 28th. So I have some text expander snippets and a Hazel rule set up that helps make all of that happen for me, so that I can put the date right at the beginning of the file name. So then, like, when I do open that folder of 2019 taxes, everything that's in there is in chronological order, which works for me. Because then that way, like,
by date for that?
What?
You wouldn't just sort by date for that?
No, because I created the file at whatever point. And so I let Hazel manage finding the date, you know, the billing date or the invoice date or whatever in the file itself, and stick that right at the beginning. So then here's all the paperwork for January, and I'm done. Like, whatever.
Right.
So particularly in this case, because I'm not a person who lives in that kind of system, I try to set everything up and let Hazel take care of it for me so that it can be that way, because there's a lot of there, you know, it's very important to have the right dates on everything. It's very important for those things to be accurate. So I let the computer do that for me instead of me trying to figure it out. So hands off on that for me works very well for me. And then being able to go find it later, like the magic of Spotlight. I don't know if we've impressed upon you how amazing Spotlight is compared to what it used to be to try and find a file on your computer, but it's a huge difference. And so being able to type in, you know, iTunes or whatever and get all those iTunes receipts, right, is amazing. And it's not a thing you used to be able to do. Or type in the app name and your computer can go find the email that has the receipt. You know, the emailed receipt from Apple for when you bought that app. Like, when was that? Like, you can do that now and you couldn't do that before. And, you know, Gmail searching, like, you know, Gmail brought people the idea of like, you don't need to put your email in 1,000 different folders like Dave used to. You have, you know, all mail and you just go search for the thing that you need and then it shows up. And I think that being able to take away having to have some of that structure in order to get anywhere or retrieve anything has been so much more convenient over time. So I'm very glad about it. And Andrew, I liked your, I liked reading your piece because it did give me some ideas. I'm not a person.
Oh, good.
I'm in Dave's camp. I'm not a person who uses tags, but I was reading your piece and I was like, oh, maybe I should. Like, that might be a good idea. Yeah. So we'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, other things easier, you know, like having some tags on stuff to be able to find it all over the place. So excellent idea. Now, Andrew, you wrote another piece that I wanted to ask you about because I think this is going to be sort of interesting. And that is some of the, we'll call it bonus material that Apple put out around Little America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's an interview over at Forbes with some of the executive producers of Little America, just explaining a bit about the process behind it, what they went through when they were pitching the idea. And something interesting they shared within that interview was the fact that, let me find that quote. So they're going to expand. So Little America right now is just a video series on Apple TV Plus. Mm-hmm. They do mention they're going to do a podcast and also some books related to each of those stories. And this kind of ties in, I think, to this rumor that's been going on kind of recently where Apple would be going into original podcasts. And at one point, I'm pretty sure someone from Apple had said, no, we're actually not doing this. But as it turns out, maybe they will, because, you know, since they don't mention Apple Books or Apple Podcasts specifically by name, but since Apple owns Little America, I think that's the conclusion that it would also be in their apps.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense to me. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, so this is interesting because when the idea first floated, there was no context to it. Right. It was like, oh, Apple's just going to find the most popular podcasts out there and make their own or do something. Right. Like there was no context. So now seeing this, it all kind of makes sense. Like, well, yeah, they're doing the, you know, I think of this like a 360 deal, and because I'm a musician and I follow a lot of bands and stuff, and the 360 deal is, you know, you're not just worried about going on tour and putting the show on the stage, you're selling merchandise and you're selling, you know, all the other things that sort of go along with that.
Right.
And you get to, you know, either get more of people's money or more of people's attention or both, depending on how you're doing it with podcasts. I'm assuming it's about attention more than money, but you know, obviously with attention then comes money because subscriptions to Apple TV Plus follow through from the people that are fans of the shows. Mm-hmm. And one great way to increase your fans' involvement and engagement is to offer more content to them. So this actually makes a lot of sense to me. And I don't, you know, when the idea first came up, it was like, oh man, like what's Apple going to do? How, and I suppose this question still exists. How do they, how does discovery change in the podcast directory and apps with Apple's own stuff? Do they prioritize mm-hmm. their own stuff? Do they still treat it the same? You know, and there's probably going to be examples of both of those things, just not at the same time, you know, where they will prioritize and promote their own stuff, which would make sense. But this compartmentalizes it in a way that as a podcaster is not scary to me. In fact, it makes a lot of sense to me that they would do this. Now, I am not a podcaster that publishes shows about serial content like these TV shows. So maybe if I were, I'd feel a little bit differently. Like, oh crap, I was going to do a show about Little America. Now I can't, or I could, but I'm literally competing with the same people that are making the show. But that, see, I think that's why I feel good about it, because any creator of a show could create a TV show, a video show, could also create their own ancillary audio content to go along with that. That's always been a thing. You know, it's the fact that it's Apple. Well, okay. I mean, and yes, they have this podcast directory, and yes, they could leverage that to get a little more, you know, feeding the circle type of thing. And, and they probably will. But again, I don't like, that's always a risk. If you're someone who's going to do a podcast about, you know, Star Trek or whatever, like, great. But also know that, you know, Roddenberry Enterprises over there also makes podcasts and might well make one that you wind up competing with. And that's just how it goes, you know? So I think that's okay. You know, that's why this doesn't seem weird. It's the content creation arm of Apple that is doing more related content creation. So I might 6 months from now or a year from now, I might come back and look at this conversation and say, oh, how naive you were, Dave. But, you know, I don't feel too bad about it.
Well,
I feel good about it. It makes sense.
My first question was the Little America podcast, if they're going to do it, right? And let's just assume that they are. If they're going to do it, is it going to be available anywhere but Apple's podcast directory? Like, are they going to set it up so you can get it through Spotify and all that stuff too? That was my first question. And then my second question was, not really a question, but more like, okay, this makes sense, because remember last year HBO put out Chernobyl, and I remember a lot of the conversation about the show not being, are you watching the show, but are you listening to the podcast? Like, did you hear the Chernobyl podcast this week? They talked about, you know, whatever it was. And because it was sort of like assumed, yes, of course you're watching Chernobyl because everybody's watching Chernobyl, but are you listening to the podcast that goes with it? And I've seen a couple of other sort of, I guess, official podcasts that have come out. The Good Place on NBC has a podcast, has an official podcast that they put out, which I think is fun. I like the show and I have listened to the podcast. I think it's great. There's another one that's, I guess it would be semi-official because The Office is no longer airing, but Two Office Ladies is a podcast by a couple of the cast members of the show, and they invite other cast members from the show to come on and talk about, and they're doing basically a rewatch, like one episode at a time. And so I've seen a couple, like, official, pretty close to official, you know, unofficially official, I guess, would be Two Office Ladies, podcasts in this way. And so it just sort of makes sense that this would be the next thing that you would do. It would just, like, I feel like at some point it's going to evolve into the checklist of things that you do. So, like, if you're a person, you know, if you're in charge of a production of a show, whether it's a TV Plus show, a Disney Plus show, an Amazon Prime show, Netflix show, an NBC show, another network, you know, broadcast network show, like, you have the stuff that you do, you know, to make the show happen. You organize a premiere, you send everybody out, you know, the notable people in the cast and the crew, you send them out on press tours and they go do like late night chat shows and things. And then also we need to make sure we get everybody to sit down and do, you know, part of a podcast. Like, they sometimes do the additional material and things now. Like, when you sit down, you know, there's like little behind the scenes interviews with people that are like the bonus materials on DVDs and when you buy a movie and stuff. Or, you know, some of the behind the scenes stuff that they shoot when they're doing TV shows. And I feel like this would just be another one of those things. Like, you're going to sit down and do half an hour of behind the scenes stuff, and then you're going to record a podcast. Like, it's just going to become another item that you do to promote the show.
Yeah, right. And that's normal with that kind of thing. You know, we've been publishing Mac Observer with 21 years or something like that. When we started, we would you know, put up a post and then maybe email Max Surfer and tell him the post was up, you know, mm-hmm. and that was it. But now it's like, okay, well, let's make sure it's up on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and craft the message for each of those. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe some of that same stuff, maybe email, you know, a Max Surfer writer at another publication that we think might be interested. But yeah, that sort of thing evolves. That makes sense. You would mm-hmm. have yeah. other related content that you're doing in other places where, you know, the idea of going to where the people are and engaging with them so that they come to where you are is sort of how it works.
Right. And this is just a new avenue to engage those people. Like this is,
yeah.
this is just somebody recognizing this is where the people are.
Right.
And
right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And who's recognizing where the people are? The ones responsible for giving them all the opportunity to be there in the first place.
Like, right. Yeah.
Apple
right.
set out all the seats and they're like, look at all the people sitting in them. Like, aren't we shocked? Right. So, I'm interested in it. I haven't had a chance to watch Little America yet, but everyone I know that has watched any of it has said that it's really fun to watch and worthwhile. So I will definitely be checking it out. I think that's probably going to do it for us, though. We got some information and we got some entertainment in, so I feel like we've brought balance to the force today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Dave, thank you as always for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Fun stuff.
I am your host, Kelly Gamont. If you want to tell us more about like the official or unofficially official podcast that you're listening to, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can leave comments in the show notes. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.